Hello, and welcome to the very first episode of 1-2-3 Web Security. My name's Michael, and I'm here to keep you up to date on Web 1-2-3 and PC security. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about the internet itself. So, let's begin. So, what is the internet or internet? Is a global system of interconnected computer networks that use the Internet Protocol Suite, TCP or IP, to communicate between networks and devices. It is a network of networks that consist of private, public, atomic, business and government networks of local to global scope, linked by a broad array of electronic, wireless, and optical network technologies. The internet carries a vast range of information, resources, and services, such as the interlinked hypertext document and applications of the World Wide Web, or WWW, electronic email, telephony, and file sharing. The origins of the internet date back to the development of the PACT switching and research commissions by the United States Department of Defense in the 1960s to enable time sharing of computers. The primary precursor network, the ARPANET, initially served the backbone of the interconnection of regional and military networks in the 1970s. The founding of the National Science Foundation Network as the new backbone in the 1980s, as well as a private fund of other commercial extensions, led to the worldwide protection in the development of a new networking technologies. And the merger of many networks, the linking of commercial networks and enterprises by the early 1990s marked the beginning of the transition to the modern internet and generated a situation experimental growth as generations of institutional, personal, and mobile computers are connected to the network. Although the internet was widely used by the academic in the 1980s, commercialization incorporated its services and technologies into virtually every aspect of modern life. Most traditional communication medias include telephone, radio, television, paper mail, and newspapers are rehashed, redefined, or bypassed by the internet, giving birth to new services such as email, internet telephone, internet television, online music, digital newspapers, and video streaming websites. Newspapers, books, and other print publishers are adapted to website technology or reshaped into blogging, web feeds, and online news aggregators. The internet has enabled and accelerated new forms of personal interactions through instant messaging, internet forms, and social networking services, online shopping, and the grow exponentially for major retailers, small businesses, and entrepreneurs, as it enables firms to extend their brick and mortar presence to serve a large market or even sell goods as a service entirely online, business to business and financial services to the internet affect applies to chains across entire industries. The internet has no single centralized government or either technology implementation or policies for access and use. Each constituted network sets its own policies. The overarching definitions of two practical namespaces in the internet, the Internet Protocol Address, IP address, space, and the Domain Name Service, DNS, are directed by a minister organization, the Internet Corporation of Associated Names and Numbers, ICANN or ICANN. The technology underpinning and standardizing the core protocol of activity on the Internet Engineering Task Force, IETF, a non-profit organization loosely associated international protocols that anyone can associate with by contributing technology expertise. In November 2006, the internet was included on USA Today list of new 7 wonders. So when it comes to the internet, there's 3 different types. So let's start talking about Web 1. Now, Web 1 was back in the day when websites were created with basic HTML, the programming language behind every website. Now, HTML was used to create basic text-based websites. So things like Wikipedia, where you click a link and you're basically just reading articles off of Wikipedia. You could essentially do the same thing with Google search engine. So Google was a little bit more fleshed out in the regards of being able to search the internet as well. But essentially it was the same thing where you put in a search, a web page would come up, a list, and then a readable list of links would be there, clickable for you to be able to click and view and go to a website. Now, that's a little bit more complex in the sense of it's still Web 1, but it had a little bit more behind it. Web 1 websites were basically the original basis of the internet. Now, the internet back then was literally read-only, as they call it. Now, read-only meant that a website would pop up. It would probably, let's say, be for a business. The business might have a basic website with a logo, a few clickable links, and some text that allowed them to show off what they did and explain to you who they are, with maybe the occasional image here or there. So that is the basic definition of Web 1. Now we've spoken about Web 1, let's get into the nitty-gritties of Web 2. Now, Web 2 came along when things like social media came about, where we started coming into the interactable web, where we ourselves created the content that went onto these websites. Now, for those of you that are as old as I am, being 31, you might remember some of the really early social networking sites. So we had things like MySpace, we had things like Bebo, Tagged, and then the development of Facebook came along, and this is where social media be- became its own, became a big thing. Because back in the day when the internet was first being formed, social media was great. You could upload pictures, you could do statuses, everything you can do now, basically. But Facebook was the first website to really come out with a great UI, that user interface that people could really understand. And it was the first website that came up with like programmable feeds, so whereby you were putting up information using hashtags. Well, hashtags weren't a thing at first, but let's add that in anyway. So you were using hashtags, you were using links, text, you were uploading pictures. Eventually we got to videos, so we had sites, and then sites like YouTube came along, and then we went even one further than that. We then had streaming, where you could stream video, stream yourselves live through places like Twitch, or now YouTube you can do it, or even Twitter as their own sort of thing. And this is where we sort of became our own, because the internet became the community hub for people. People could follow you on different social networking sites. They can add you as friends on Facebook. So we had things like, so Facebook was the friend group. So this is the way I describe it to people. So Facebook was your friend group or family circle. This is where you uploaded like more personal information, pictures and all that jazz that your friends and family could interact with. Then you got Twitter, which was like the next thing that came along, which was like your short blog, for example, right? Like we call it a micro blog, where you gave little snippets of your day-to-day life, or news companies could come along and sort of give you updates on things. And now people interact in different ways on Twitter and stuff. And then you've got things like blogs, where you can create your own blog posts to interact with people. Or now you've got things like influencers online through TikTok, Instagram, Twitch, YouTube, and a few other platforms, where we ourselves become the content for these websites that bring people back to these websites. And you can even have like what they call a creator's economy, where there are certain people that make money from people through their content online. So YouTube have their ad revenue, and people that upload over 1,000 subscribers and 4K views get added to the advertiser program. And some of that advertising, I believe it's 50% of the advertising, which is great, gets sent back to the creators of the website. And then you've got Twitch, for example, where people stream online and people can donate and people can subscribe, and they get little tiers added. And then you've got things like TikTok with their creators economy, where, and in my opinion this is the worst one, but it's still there, depending on how many views your video has, you can get paid. And I believe it's something like for every 1,000 views you get a penny in English equivalent. So that is basically the rundown of Web 2, where we've gone from Web 1, the readable internet, to Web 2, the readable and interactable internet, and then you've got Web 3, which is the most interesting. No. Now, for this last section, this bit's going to be a bit longer because we're moving on to the new web, Web 3, my favourite and most exciting part of the web. Now, Web 3 is to do with blockchains. And what is a blockchain? Well, a blockchain is a bunch of interoperable computers either mining or staking a cryptocurrency to secure a network and mine each block. Now, each block will give them like what they call gas fee. Now, the gas fee is used to pay the miner or the people running the staking node for their participation in securing the network and finding these new blocks. Now, during a blockchain, a block is found to sort of hold information of a transaction or a piece of information that has come through on the blockchain that is shared between all the computers running the network. So it makes it more secure, decentralized, in the sense of if a hacker tried to get in there and wanted to take down the blockchain, it's a lot harder to do because they'd have to attack thousands, they'd have to change thousands of information across thousands of computers to be able to do so. Now, the other thing that comes with blockchains is wallets. Now, a wallet is used to be able to interact with what we'd like to call dApps, which are decentralized apps. And they're also used to hold cryptocurrencies, which are tokens or coins on a particular blockchain that you can either earn money from or use to pay for things. Now, a token is the cryptocurrency that is on top of a blockchain. A coin is the native currency used on the blockchain to pay for transaction fees. Now, if for example you've got what they call Bitcoin and you've got Ethereum. So if Ether, which is the coin for Ethereum network, if that's on Ethereum, that is a coin because it is the coin used to pay for gas fees. Now, if it was on another network called Solana, it then becomes a token because it's not the native currency used to pay for gas fees on that network. Now, along with that, you have smart contracts, which are basically the coding used on the blockchain to sort of create the product behind it that can basically control the dApp that you're using, and or the currency you're using, or the NFT you're using. Now, an NFT is an image or a identity or a decentralized a DNS, a decentralized URL that's run in slightly different ways. Now, all of this comes together to create a great community of things. So let's go back to the beginning with this now. So basically, Satoshi Nakamoto, the creator of Bitcoin, basically created the first, well, he didn't create the first blockchain. There were blockchains before this, but this was the first blockchain that actually solved all the issues that came before it. Now, I'm not going to dive too much into that because that would be a bit too long, and that might be for another episode of the podcast. But for now, we're talking about the very first main blockchain, which is Bitcoin. Now, Bitcoin is controlled by miners. These are the people that are using GPUs to mine blocks, to find the blocks that are being created on the network and to bring them onto the network. So every 10 minutes, a new block is found by one of these GPU miners, and that is brought onto the network. And because of their efforts of spending the processing of using their GPUs, they get a percentage of Bitcoin. And Bitcoin is the coin for the Bitcoin blockchain. And then going on from that, you then had the Ethereum blockchain made by Vitalik Buterin. Now, I apologize, I might be battering some of these names, because I'm not very good at pronouncing names as it is. I'm not very good at remembering names either, so I might be butchering it, but it's as far as I know it is Vitalik Buterin, who is a Russian Canadian, and basically he was born in Russia but lives in Canada. And there's a big story around him as well, which we'll probably do a podcast on in the future. But essentially, he created the second blockchain. But this blockchain didn't just involve cryptocurrencies. It also involved smart contracts. Now, before I delve any deeper, this is the best understanding for what I'm talking about. So, a blockchain is your computer. So, there's your thing. That's your computer. Then the wallet is your software. That is the software that runs within the computer. And then the smart contract is the application that runs on that software. So the operating system. So the blockchain is your computer. The wallet is the operating system, and a smart contract is the program running on that operating system. So that's an easy way for that's how I visualize it, and that's an easy way of visualizing it if you're unsure on what I'm about to explain. So what the Ethereum blockchain did is it brought DeFi, so decentralized finance, cryptocurrencies. So even further, it broadened out cryptocurrencies, because people used smart contracts to create their own currencies, which then evolved into other DeFi projects or onto DeFi games like Play to Earn or Move to Earn and other things like this. There's just different amalgamation of projects that come out of it. Now, the other thing that's important to remember about Web3 is there's a lot more to it. It's a lot more sort of a lot more involved and a lot more going on. And Web3 is going to be something that I'm going to have to do another episode on to broaden out the thing. But basically, this is the basics of cryptocurrencies, Web3, blockchains, smart contracts. That's the basics of the whole idea behind it. And this is basically the whole of the internet as it stands today, as its basic forms. And we'll delve further into these concepts of the internet in later episodes. But I just want to say thank you for listening to this podcast. I've been your host, Michael. I hope you enjoyed this. I hope to bring you further history, interviews, tips, tricks, and security around the internet. And I shall see you in the next episode. Goodbye for now, my security peeps. Thank you.